Okay, hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's call on Buddhas and Butterflies. We are in houses 7 and 8. We wrap that up next week in conclusion with a breathwork session. So today's like the last full body talk session for it. We're working with the extra emotions. We're working with things like shame, overwhelm, guilt, apathy, anxiety, jealousy. All the things, not extra, combination emotions. And I think of those combinations of the various different fear, anger, grief, worry, joy, sadness, the basic five emotions, five, six. And those are in different degrees and different proportions for different people. And the situation can even dynamically unfold. So it's not just like one person has one note of jealousy. You might have a different experience of jealousy when you're thinking about your partner versus when you're thinking about your coworker or that friend of yours. So jealousy can be different across the board on many different notes in even any given moment. So depending upon its orientation. Okay, so thank you so much for being here. I invite you to go ahead and get snuggled on in, get comfy and cozy for our time together. Make any adjustments that you'd like to. And the invitation here is to focus on your breath. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life, and every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant to neutral, taking a moment to just drink that on in. Let that linger through your tissue. And amongst that, I'm going to invite you to also find something on purpose to savor. I invite you to either keep your eyes closed if they are, open them on up if you prefer, and to scan your environment, whether you're looking inwardly or outwardly. The invitation is to let your senses go for a wander, go for a walk throughout your space. And to ultimately let your gaze land on anything in particular that just feels extra juicy to be with. And it might not be a thing. It could be like right now the light is shining through a plant of mine and the leaves are semi-transparent and I can see the veins. It's like, just spectacular. And there's like a brilliant edge of light just around the leaf itself. So it might be like how the light plays. The shadow plays with something. It could be the space between, the negative space that's created by something. And as you let your gaze linger there, the invitation is to notice what you like about this, naming it in a few qualities. And then letting yourself really savor those qualities, letting them on purpose be noticed with your awareness, drinking them on in, letting them rumble through your system. I like that piece of just spectacular, extra special treat, like that for me, it's always chocolate, that special chocolate thing that you save. Taking time to really let that linger, to really let that be absorbed slowly, sensually. And as you continue to linger there, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you to all that's gone into this sweet moment of connection. Thank you to the families that are behind every single participant here today, the ancestors behind those families, and the lineages that have held them all. And thank you to the village that is our world that we are intimately connected with, that grants us support and capacity to be here in all the ways that have been provided for us to do so. We ask that we use today's time in a good, rich way that's of service to ourselves and to this world equally. May that continue to ripple forward in ways that offer blessings and provide awareness, lightness, brightness to the path before us so that we can provide clarity for ourselves and for this world in ways that are in alignment with our intentions that we're exploring with our curiosity today. Kausai to life. And as we step into our body talk session. Invitation to deepen the breath. An invitation to actually feel where that breath can be felt in the body. So just tracing it in your awareness. Maybe you notice it in your nostrils, in your upper passageways. Maybe you notice it in your upper body or lower bodies. Letting your awareness just really trace it wherever you happen to be present to it today. It's actually wherever you touch is going to be our first link in our body talk session. So I'll give you another few breaths to play with that and see where you notice your breath. See where you notice that in your body today. And this isn't a need to expand it or notice it where you haven't noticed it before. This isn't a command or a demand or anything other than just noticing what's actually happening right now. So without forcing it or pushing it in some direction, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I've been asked to notice my breath, my attention goes like, oh God, where am I not feeling it? I better get it in there. Okay, let's make that happen. So just in case you've got anything like that going on, which is oh so human, I invite you to literally just like shake that off, wiggle woggle. You can even give your whole body a shake, shimmy with that. And coming back to just simply noticing what's here. And in doing so, we begin to grant our system the need to, pardon me, not the need, the space to literally not have to be productive, which is a very achievement-oriented thing that we have in our society that's usually underlying the cause of most of our stressors and challenges in life. It can be a radical, even inflammatory, to suggest you actually don't have to be productive. And wherever you are noticing the breath is actually the place where we're working in your body, where you can supportively take in the consciousness, the quality itself of grace. Of grace. And that's linking into, this is a little abstract, but so is grace. It's linking into the places that in our system, which is very prevalent, it's found in all of nature, including the makeup of your very body, where things are present in a spiral-like pattern. And to it, we're bringing the awareness as spirals in through a Chinese medicine sense are meant to bring us into touch with prosperity. And we're linking that into the liver, the kidney, and the spleen meridians, which are also the meridians of prosperity. Those tend to run prominently. We can find all three of them through the inner leg. And there's a point about halfway up the inner leg that actually is like the intersectionality of all three of these points, all three of these, pardon me, meridians. It's not known particularly for prosperity. It does other things in terms of regulating our health from a Chinese medicine sense, which is in a way prosperity from a different understanding of it. And for our time together, we're going to use it as the essence of prosperity. And that can include health. It can also include, we're going to widen that net to include anything else that would be related to your sense of prosperity. That might be emotional prosperity, meaning, and I think of the expression of emotional prosperity as grace itself, along with mental prosperity, meaning we feel so even keeled. It's really easy to be graceful with others and wherever they happen to be in their own human journey. And it gives us just a little bit of space to catch our own systems, interactions, and overreactions alike around how it is we are in relationality. And that too is its prosperity. It's from perhaps relational prosperity from how I'm going to define it today. Then coming back to the spiral. So the spiral, which is the primary geometric shape in all of our bones, our DNA, our sinew, our muscles, our organs. There isn't really anything in our body that doesn't have that spiral shape to it in some way, shape, or form. We can think of that as bringing in the essence of embodiment. So it's like the embodiment of prosperity itself, and also noting that the map to prosperity is actually here in our bodies. It's not over there wanting something else to happen. It's not, I better make something different, be here in my awareness or change my circumstances. It's not about getting out of anything. It's actually about getting more into this body, this form, and how it showed up for you in this lifetime. Because for whatever reason, that is carrying your essence of prosperity. And sometimes we can have some thoughts about our form. We can have body image issues. We can have frustrations with our body in general for being aging or limiting, it's being limited in some way. We might have a sense of like, that shoulder doesn't work, you know, how I would have liked it to have in this lifetime. Or my lungs don't seem to, all the issues that we have with our challenges inside of our body. And those can get in the way of, or be pointing to the way to find, at the same time, to speak very paradoxically, around the map of what is prosperity for you and for your system. If I could simplify that all in a couple of different ways, it might be to point to connecting to the feeling state that you have in your body right now. What's the sensation that you're present to in your body? Noticing where your breath touched the body as a form of noticing a sensation. So that's another example of simplifying this. To literally become more present to you here, more present to you now. As we do that, we're running a cellular repair. This is going through the family lines. We're going back a fair ways on dad's side, 8 generations. And we're working with a sensation of numbness. So like the feeling of like, I can't be present to that. I can't take that in. That's too much for me to actually feel that. That's too much to ask that I'm in my body, that I'm at peace with this form. And we're also going back the same time, seven generations down mom's side of the family lines. I don't know why, but sometimes when we do both sides, they're like just one off. Sometimes the same, but often just one off of each other. And in this seventh generation back, there was this beginning of emotions feeling too painful to be born in the system, and a sense of, in particular, grief itself, feeling like the ache of grief was just too much. It was too overwhelming. So I became associated with this idea that strong emotions, that overwhelm, should best be numbed out, should not be felt. And then amongst that, it's actually attracting the opposite. It's actually attracting abundant emotional situations for that to unnumb. It's attracting maybe in your lifetime more than an unusual amount of pain or tenderness or rawness or sensitivity to things that are emotional in spectrum because of this needing to come to attention, needing to come to awareness. And they say in psychology, and from what I can tell, it's pretty accurate, that if we could give ourselves space to feel that feeling that we often push away, that we run to the fridge for, that we run to our chocolate for, that we run to something else in our lives for, maybe it's exercise, it might even be like a healthy thing. If we could actually just give it space to be felt, it would take about 90 seconds, 90 seconds of feeling that feeling for our system to actually digest it and to be with it and to release it, much like passing weather storms. It doesn't linger. It's not meant to. It's meant to give information and energy back to your system by means of feeling it. As we've talked in this course a fair bit over the sessions, especially in the early ones, emotion is nothing more than energy and in motion. So these energies are giving us space and grace to literally become aware, the ones that we're holding on to with any level of personalness. And grant them space to be felt so that we can release them. We can actually use that energy in ways that are productive for the health of our system so we can return to a prosperous state to bring this all full circle to prosperity. Okay. Excuse me. So, with that understanding in place, we're linking this all to our immune system. And any time our immune system is really strong and overreactive in particular ways, we might be prone to certain things and like allergies or intolerances or microbial infections. We might even have an autoimmune disorder or two. They often travel in packs. The system is essentially saying, I can't take in what's here right now. I can't accept that. I have to actually reject that. And that's coming in part because of the two different cellular repairs that we worked with through dad's side and through mom's side. Both of them are impacting through the immune system, which in essence is just crying out to be present to the feeling of what's happening here in this particular moment. Which doesn't mean don't do other things that support your immune system. It just means integrate the feeling components within it. If we're constantly managing our immune system with every anti-inflammatory underneath the sun, then we end up in a state where our system ends up just letting the inflammation build unchecked, and we don't actually face the underlying emotional pieces behind that all. And we become, I am like, I'm sure the queen of this one, supplementation junkies in some way, shape, or form. And all of this is, in a way, metaphorically creating a certain level of, I'm going to say, blindness in the system. A sense of, I don't want to take that in. I don't want to feel that. That's going to be too much. So I'll just push it out there, which then keeps you separate from yourself. It keeps you not in touch or in awareness or in a state of blindness from what's actually happening here. So it doesn't actually ever allow for you to be present in your system. We're actually linking that into not blindness itself, but into the, pardon me, my dog stepped on my heating pad and it got cranked up really high, so I'm just turning that down. It's really, I sit on a heating pad because my senior dog has a heart issue and she gets very hot very quickly. We keep the house temperature really low for the dog. So the house temperature is at like 18 degrees right now. And sometimes that's just a bit cold for my system. So I sit on a heating pad sometimes. And she cranked it up. So now I'm actually kind of sweltering. Okay. Forgive me. We're linking that into the ice. We're linking that into the capacity for how it is light in particular is being registered by the system. And that might go like directly to those of us who are sensitive to light. It might go to those of us who are having some challenges with sight in different ways. Sometimes that can change throughout your lifetime. I feel like I'm just on the cusp of a few myself right now. And as we work with this territory, working with the receptivity to light, it's actually in direct correlation to some of this emotional processing pieces that we've been working with. Think of an intolerance to be with the emotional components of the system as saying to the body, I can't actually be with what's here, which means I also can't take in the joy or the lightness that's here in life. So it's working with this metaphorically. And it's just like an intolerance to the system that says, like, hey, if I actually got settled here, it might be too overwhelming to be at a state of ease in my system right now. So better I find something to be agitated about. For this, we're running one more cellular repair on the eyes themselves and for the receptors to light. For those of us who are hypersensitive to light, and some of us somehow have paradoxically a little bit of both going on, we might have some vision changes going on and a hypersensitivity to light. That is often related to the sense of being easily overwhelmed by the joy that's here. So it's like an intolerance to joy on the other side of it. It's like oh, I got what I wanted, but like, nah, I don't like it. I don't know what to do with that. I'm not comfortable with it. It's not a familiar, useful state for my system to be in. Okay, all that is linking into the right compassion center, which hangs out roughly in the upper center of the chest on the right side there. And compassion literally translates to being with suffering. And all this is going into like all the cellular repair pieces, all the emotional numbing pieces, all the prosperity pieces, are overarchingly working with a consciousness of relationality. So how is it we can be present enough in our own emotional presence to then also honor that state with grace around what's happening for another? Which is not something that we're taught. In fact, we're taught in early life to suppress, to override, to ignore our own emotions in favor of the other. And that can usually lead to a sense of hypersensitivity or empathy in alongside of a sense of one-upmanship. And they tend to go hand in hand. The empath and the one-up, they're just like opposite sides of the same coin. That could probably use its own hour or a day long, really, breakdown. So I'm not going to go into depth on those pieces right now. I've talked about them, I think, before, even in this series. And then as we work with that cellular repair day, we're doing one more cellular repair. This is actually not through the family lines. This is acquired, which means in this lifetime. Excuse me. And here we're working with a sense of, let me just find the right words for this. I'm gonna share a quote, and I believe I'm paraphrasing Buddha, but correct me if you know I'm wrong, which is our compassion is incomplete unless it includes ourselves. Our compassion is incomplete unless it includes ourselves. And we're actually working with a cellular repair on the parts of you that learned through the nervous system to actually not take in compassion for yourself, that learned that somehow that was selfish. Excuse me, that learned that you should give that away in order to quote unquote be a good girl, good boy. In the same way that we thought we had to like share our choice, that we had to override our own feelings, thoughts, emotions around what our own wants and needs and desires were. That we had to constantly just give those away to another. And in doing so, there's a sense of loss of self, which often goes with a sense of resentment or bitterness. And then an expectation that somebody else should fill us up in our relations, in our relationships of all sorts, whether that's our kids, our partners, our friends, our work. We think that something should fill us up. And then we get quite upset and resentful when that doesn't happen, which it can never actually happen that way. At the same time as that, we're doing an emotional release of grief and apathy and overwhelm. So grief, apathy, and overwhelm from the 12th house. And it's like the apathy that says, again, the sense of numbness of like, this is too much for me to bear. I should numb this out. And that might be an overwhelming amount of grief that's behind that. And the 12th house is very much about releasing, letting go, making space, and just allowing, which is sometimes a really tough, painful life lesson along the way. It can break our heart when our loved ones depart or leave. Whether or not they're even still alive, but whether there's a sense of loss of them in some way, shape, or form. It can break our heart when our loved ones end up in a different emotional state and don't necessarily receive our side of things. And it can break our heart when we actually have our own sense of capacity to see our own side of things. To take, I'm going to say, radical levels of accountability for anything that's happening in our lives. And to somehow create a sense of a blame for others, creating your own victimhood, which is its own form of overwhelming grief that's often quite unconscious, subconscious, and very often not spoken about. And it can be at the root of, in essence, why we're not always as deeply caring towards ourselves. Because to be caring towards ourselves is also to hold ourselves accountable in some really rich ways. Caring for ourselves is, I think of it as like reparenting ourselves and being the mom and the dad to ourselves, or the caregivers to ourselves that we just didn't necessarily have in full presence because they had their own shortcomings. Due to the fact of their own humanness. And, or there wasn't a sense of actually having that in your life, depending upon how you grew up. And those shortcomings, those shortfalls, become our responsibility to tend to ourselves. And they often create our sense of conflict. That's how we begin to notice them. It's like, that really sucks that that happened to me. And we can stay in a state of victim and blame about that, which just perpetuates our suffering, which has its own role to get our attention, ideally to wake us up. Or we can turn towards it and listen to it and be like, okay, I need to find some other tools here. And there's plenty out there. I trust you'll find what you need. And if you ever need support and, resourcing avenues along those directions, don't be shy to reach out. I've always got some ideas. Okay. So radical accountability being at the root of self-care, which in turn actually creates space for us to be with others and to be supportive and compassionately holding space for them while they go through their own processing. And being present with them enough, meaning that we're processed or integrated enough in our own stuff that we can actually be present with another as they go through their stuff. put a different way, what is it to be regulated within your own system so much so that other people are able to turn towards you and to sit with you in their own search, in their own longing, their own need for finding their own way as a human being in this world? And interestingly enough, we're linking that to the perineum, that space where the perineum, the space, pardon me, between vagina or testes and anus is in contact. If we were sitting cross-legged right on the earth, would be that space where our base chakra, our survival chakra, would be in contact with the earth, and we would be grounded, which often gives rise to a sense of financial stability. And material needs feeling easily within arm's reach or easily within arm's grasp. And that creating a form of prosperity, not necessarily through direct causation of I earned more money, but through the sense of there's somehow your needs met just through being in right relationship to yourself. And therefore, to others around you. It is definitely cellular repair day. We've got another one coming up. And this is to Dad's side of the family lines. And it's on the spiritual essence. We're going back 7 generations. And it's working with the generations that didn't actually have a spiritual maturation point. And how do I want to speak to this? We can think of it as simply the final developmental stage of being a human, which doesn't come with adulthood or age, or even entering what some refer to as eldership, although it's often hand in hand with a certain amount of eldership, not necessarily a given. It comes through just simply the awareness of our own sovereignty as a human being. And being in connection to the world in a unified state, there's an intertwining of sovereignty and unity that enter into awareness that creates a emotional maturity that, in essence, makes life not so personal. Means that whatever's happening is actually impersonal, and it means that the way that we've organized our beliefs, ideas, thoughts, our sense of self to navigate life is no longer as sticky or needed to be clung to. So it becomes less about us, in essence, and more about other people around us or something else. However that looks for you, might be your own story to fill. And we're basically just going back through the 7 generations down Dad's side where that didn't actively get fulfilled. So there's a lot of buildup of, I'm going to say, spiritual immaturity, which makes it harder if you can't feel it in your bones and your blood and the masculine side in the same way that you might be able to access it even through the maternal side. It doesn't mean that it necessarily translates. The paternal side would be the active, like, how do I put this into action? How do I actively move forward with that understanding once it's there? And if there isn't a sense of I actually know what to do with that, then sometimes we actually don't reach it. We sometimes don't get there. And I might speak to that in the territory in general as also being the heart of being in alignment with a depth of caring about ourselves and as much as we can offer our presence to others in this world. And related to that, along the way, there can be a quality of sitting with the stories that we're telling ourselves about who it is we are and how we should be that are simply learned. And if we think about being able to hand those back through the family lines, through Dad's side, 7 generations back, I'll walk you through a bit more of a process around that in just a second. Then it begins to actually undo this intergenerational idea that we actually can't come to the fullest expression of ourselves. So if you're present to it, if you've got a part of you that's just kind of like chirpy, maybe it's critical, Maybe it has some thoughts that are your presence here on a fairly regular basis that just don't seem to be useful to constantly be amongst. I'm going to suggest that anything that's in the realm of not being caring for our own selves through our inner voice is something that was learned, and it was learned out of likely some reason to stay alive. So I'm going to assume it's there for a really good reason. So I'm going to invite you to first, before we do anything, to welcome it to be here and to give it space to allow it to be here just as it needs to be, just as it wants to be. And to grant it space. To grant it space. And as you do so, perhaps connecting to your breath to supportively just allow that voice to actually take up the space that it's been looking for, to actually grant it the need that it's been needing to fill. I just noticed that something changes when you actively turn towards it and welcome it. Something changes here. And then I'm going to invite you to just receive it and just keep welcoming it as long as you've got room to do so. If at any point this gets overwhelming, you can touch on that resource that we found earlier. Okay. And essentially, just keep supportively being here for that voice, granting it what it needs, granting it what it's been looking for, and giving it space to be. And then, when there's a sense of enough separation between you and it, and then it's got enough space to take up what it's needed to do, when it's been fully satisfied in that way, when it's complete and not before, it won't work. Then I'll invite you to scoop it up, like literally feel where it is in your body, scoop it up out of your body, and hand it back through the generations. And that might be a today thing. That might be, you can listen to this recording again. That might be a next week thing, that might be a next year thing. So whenever the right timing is, if you sit with it, likely it'll happen as long as you turn towards it and you lean in like the buffalo into the storm, so to speak. It'll often give it what it needs to be fully expressed and fully felt. And that'll happen usually in a shorter timeline than necessarily years. But it might be something that you do need to repeat more than once. That's not uncommon. Okay. And then to just gently hand that back through dad's line and be like, hey, this actually isn't mine. This is a learning that came through this lineage. And as long as everybody's got a little piece of it and nobody has all of it, then nothing can actually heal. So we're actually going to return it back to the source of the self. We're going to return this all the way down through to the very beginning of the self. And as we hand it back to the very beginning, that goes back to that person's higher self. And it becomes whole, just as the generations that handed it back and yourself also become whole. In body talk, we call this the defrag. You've heard me use that in C-trees a lot. Much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, it's just taking out the clutter of what no longer needs to be here and what remains. The space that's there can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. You've heard that cue how many times now? Yeah. This is another way of doing that exact same thing. And in many ways, the session is built bit by bit, giving you capacity to move towards the directionality of feeling more in your system, supportively giving you space to begin to make contact with those parts of you that can be chirpy because they're looking for something, their expression hasn't been completed yet. And then giving that enough space to a point of you may even need to reparent it along the way. I haven't mentioned that yet. I can do that now. Meaning it might have something specifically that it needs. It might need to be nurtured. It might need to be protected. when that's complete and it's at peace, there's usually a much greater ease of being able to figure out where that is in the body, scoop it on out, and hand it back through the generations. And to a degree, this ties in emotional release work with matrix work. From a body talk perspective, we're combining it through that lens. I'm just giving you very succinct somatic-based details on how to participate in that and bring it alive for you in your own system. And we find that it just works a bit better if you have an active hand in it. So I can say the words, but unless you feel the feelings and do the thing, doesn't usually hold, doesn't usually offer a lot. Yeah. So think of this as the participation in it, the invitation. So wherever you happen to be in that is perfectly welcome. And if any one of those stages was just like a little too much, no worries. Set that down and go back to what was possible in the earlier stages of the session. We're linking this all to the heart chakra and to the actual physical cells of the heart themselves, like the actual, in particular, the muscle layer, the myocardium, and working with the part that often is ooh, a little bit overworked, a little bit tired, a little bit like, whoa, I did a lot, and I haven't always been seen. I've played a lot of roles in, if it could speak. It might say something like, I played a lot of roles in anxiety in all the spaces and places where there was something that was fearful, demanded that I work even harder. So in essence, there's a little bit of wear and tear on the cells of the heart for the amount of anxiety that's been present in your system. And as we work with this, we're going to bring the circulation of all the healing resources, including blood that carries our passion, nerve or communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor. Endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression. They help our nervous system, including the heart brain, the nerves that feed the heart, and the immune system alike. They're also balancing the yin, the feminine essence of nourishment, and the yang, the masculine essence of protection. At the same time as all of that, working with hydration, helping the cells here to drink in water and joy and release any impurities that no longer need to be here. Interestingly enough, it's being defined once again by, in a way, our kind of themes of the session today, which feels like informally, relational prosperity. And as you work with that, we're also releasing two types of shame. Shame is another form of a combination emotion. And I haven't spoken about this for a while, but the two types of shame are red shame and white shame. There's books on this too if you want to geek out in it. So red shame is the type of shame that can actually be felt by the body. It's the stuff that might make you go like, nah, and you can actually like feel that sense of like shit that goes with it often. And the white shame is the shame that we're numb to. It's the shame that we're frozen to. It's the shame that we didn't even know that was there. And this is actually, in essence, the type of shame that drives us to do painful things to one another in our relationships. It's the shame that has us act in ways that are to a degree unconsciously held in our system. In a larger scope in our world, I'm not saying this is true about our group here, In our world, this also explains behaviors that are quite violent and criminal. It's driven by white shame. It's by shame they can't actually even feel. And so it's a cry for help when their violence is often in alignment with the violence that they've received. And that even includes the extreme crimes and criminality across the board. Which, not to simplify that, there's a lot of layers to that too, that doesn't take away personal accountability. Okay. So coming back to red shame and white shame, we're working with both of them through the heart space. And I see the red shame is being underneath the heart muscle itself, and the white shame is being over top of the heart muscle. So the white shame, however, is keeping the red shame frozen. So it's like the white shame that's being used as almost like a boundary, a container. That's the numbness. That's the stuff that we can't always feel so easily at first glance. Is holding in the red shame, and it's keeping us stuck in this cycle of shame. And if the shape of prosperity is a spiral, we can think of that from a 2D perspective as being like a cycle or a circle. Spirals are more of a 3D thing. But coming back to the red shame, white shame, it's keeping this loop happening, which isn't actually allowing for the full expression of the prosperity of the heart to be available. So this red shame, we're actually going to run a permissions here. And the words are simply, you're not lesser than or better than. You're just the same as everyone else. You're not lesser than or better than. You're just the same as everyone else. You're not lesser than or better than. You're just the same as everyone else. And as I repeat it, I see some of that white shame, much like an ice cap, beginning to melt on a warm summer's day. And it's actually funneling right into the red shame. So the white shame becomes red before it actually leaves the system. So we are setting up for the flow of shame to be felt by the system, and to, in essence, have capacity for this heart to also have flow again, to have flow in relationality, to have flow in abundance, to have flow in the expression of your love, your respect, your compassion, to do what the heart does. And as it does all those other things, it also creates a balance in our system. It balances all the information below the other chakras, the three below, which relate to our humanness, and the three above, which relate to our divine nature, our spiritual essence. And it creates room for our human and our spiritual selves to come into relationality with each other in ways that just deepen your understanding of the impersonal nature of life, so to speak, okay, at the heart of the matter. To really capitalize on the heart. And as we're working through this flow of shame through the system, it also gives other people around you permission to have their own shame flow. Because when you stand with another compassionately with their suffering, there isn't a sense of others feeling judged for what it is they're feeling in their own system. There's the capacity then for them to feel received in their own shame that they're processing. And in this way, we invite in the feelings to be felt in a deeper way, which support our energy and motion to flow more profoundly, our vitality to be welcomed in our heart, to not have to work so darn hard. We're going to tap this out here. Invitation to breathe, invitation to receive however feels right for you. And to integrate this, we're going to link cortices to heart. We're going to link it as well to the cervix, which is thought to be a heart of sorts in our pelvis, as well as to the prefrontal cortex, which is thought to be another heart in our head. And as we drink that all in, we're going to simultaneously connect head to soles of feet. So the soles of the feet are where the kidney meridian brings in the grounding earth of the energy and rises it up to the head. And head to feet releases any inflammation through the system that's no longer in alignment with it. Invitation to breathe and to receive. Giving that all a few breaths. You are welcome to touch on that resource at the beginning. I'm gonna invite you to sit back and drink in a song by Deodova. It's about 4 minutes long, called Bloom. Invitation just to receive this energy right into the heart space if that feels right for you.
Lele, 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 lele
Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you for being here exactly as you are. Thank you for carrying the medicine that you do and sharing it with us in all the ways that you do. Mwah. Kausai to life. Thank you all. Wishing you a beautiful rest of your day, a week ahead, and we'll see you in February next time. And if anyone needs any additional support one-on-one, feel free to hang out afterwards. I'll stop the recording here.